This is the Space Show on Ceylon FM, and we're going to be talking with a very important person in a few moments, but first...
I'm Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke, the 10th man to walk on the moon, and you got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. This is the Space Show, Australia, on 88.3 Southern FM.
And up in Canberra at the moment, there are a bunch of guys about to turn blue because their satellite that they've been working on for several years is about to be launched. With Russell Boyce, the director of the University of New South Wales Canberra Space, and he's also the chair of Intelligent Space Systems. Good evening, Russell. Welcome to the Space Show.
Good evening, Andrew.
Now, we last spoke in December of 2017, and at that time we were talking about the Buccaneer Risk Mitigation Mission. And so before we talk about your new satellite, did the Buccaneer work?
Yes, it did. Buccaneer was operated in orbit for about 1 year, and it pretty much achieved all of its mission objectives, which was really, really good.
Oh, so you did get the data you wanted?
We did get the data we wanted. In particular, we were able to demonstrate that a very, very large flexible antenna in orbit is nice and stable, and that forms the basis for a future mission. And we were able to do some very, very important work to help support our research to avoid collisions in space.
Aha. Uh-huh. So will you be proceeding with the full Buccaneer mission?
The full Buccaneer mission is led by Defence Science and Technology Group, and we have a loose connection with that particular mission.
Okay. So what's the new satellite that you're working on? And so crossing
new satellite,
fingers.
Yes, thank you. The new satellite, it's just as small as Bucky was, Buccaneer Risk Mitigation Mission, so about the size of a loaf of bread. It's a three-unit CubeSat. This particular one, however, is almost 100% in-house designed, built, assembled, tested with the support of the people up on Mount Stromlo, and it will be operated by us as well completely. So it's a very, very exciting step for us and also for the country for space capability that is completely homegrown.
So is this in any way related to Buccaneer or is it a completely separate effort?
Completely separate effort.
Mm-hmm.
So Buccaneer was a collaboration with Defence Science and Technology. This particular mission is a different activity that we're engaged in, and it's specifically aimed at building our own internal capability and in turn helping the way that we are able to... provide space education, being a university group.
So what government departments are involved in this project?
That's not something that I'd like to discuss tonight.
Okay.
But I can confirm that it is the Australian government that is a supporter of this mission.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's been announced by other people as well. Right. So what are the main aims of the M2 path? Start again, M2 Pathfinder.
Well, the name Pathfinder itself gives a bit of a hint. It's a prelude to a far more complicated mission that will be flying next year in 2021. So M2 Pathfinder, it's testing some particular subsystems that are required on that future mission in order for the success of that future activity. In particular, it's testing the software-defined radio that we've developed in-house. It's testing the ability of this spacecraft to be controllable in terms of its pointing. And it provides flight heritage for quite a large number of satellite components to do with the power supply, to do with onboard computing, and various other things.
Now, you said it's a 3U or a 3-unit CubeSat. Many people won't know what a CubeSat is and particularly what a 3-unit one is. Could you give us the size of it, please?
Absolutely. A CubeSat is a particular standardized version of what we call a nanosat. And the standard that it complies to, as the name suggests, it comes in cubic units. So a 1 unit or 1 U cube set is 10 by 10 by 10 centimetres cubed. To get to 3 units, you stack 3 of those together. So 10 by 10 by 30, approximately. And it weighs several kilograms.
All right. And where was it built?
Well, it was built on our campus, which isn't completely true. It was fully designed on our campus. Some of the components were built elsewhere. For example, the aluminium structure was 3D printed in Melbourne. But for the most part, it was built and assembled in our clean room at UNSW Canberra at the Defence Force Academy, and then tested by our staff in collaboration with Australian National University people up at Mount Stromlo.
Using the new space facilities up there.
That's correct. ANU has some absolutely world-class facilities for doing what we call shake and bake. Attempting to break the satellite before you launch it so that if it is going to break, you can catch the problem and fix it rather than regret it later because it's broken on its ride to orbit.
Yes, because a rocket ride is a pretty rough event.
It is indeed. The vibrations are extreme.
Well, one day they'll invent smooth-running rocket motors, but in the meantime, shake and bake is what it is. Now, when did you finish building it and testing it?
That's an interesting story. We essentially finished building it before Christmas, and given that we started this particular mission program in April of last year, the entire process from conception through to almost ready to fly took about 8 months. And our understanding is that there is only one other company or group in the world that has bettered that for a CubeSat, and that is the quite amazing company Planet, based out of San Francisco.
Oh, Planet Labs.
It used to be Planet Labs. It's now called Planet.
Oh, okay. And they're Earth remote sensing satellites, aren't they?
That's correct. So we were... we'd finished assembly before Christmas. In fact, we'd finished the shake and bake before Christmas. And then we put the satellite through a very, very extensive series of tests of the combination of flight software and communication capabilities with the hardware of the satellite. We tested and tested and tested to make sure that if anything goes wrong with this satellite, it's a completely unexpected problem.
Okay. And then presumably you put it on an aeroplane to New Zealand.
In New Zealand as we speak. Two of the team took it in their carry-on luggage on a flight to Auckland and then across to Gisborne. Gisborne on the east coast of North Island. And then on to the Rocket Lab launch pad where it was put through some final tests. Tests to both assure Rocket Lab that our satellite was compliant with their hardware and wasn't going to cause any problems, and also tests for our own benefit to make sure that the satellite did fit into its dispenser and would deploy properly from that dispenser. And everything went extremely well. So from our perspective and from the highly professional external reviewers that have walked alongside us, this satellite, nothing more can be done. It's a fantastic piece of equipment, and we just wait expectantly and look forward to successful first comms when it's in orbit.
Now, New Zealand is going into lockdown in about 2 hours' time. I've been talking to some of my relatives over there, and at 1 minute to midnight their time, they're going into lockdown, which is 2 hours' time for us. And is that going to affect the launch in any way?
Well, it might. We're waiting on clarification on that from Rocket Lab at the moment. If it does affect the launch, then that simply means we have to wait a little bit longer.
And that'll be disappointing.
It will be. Nevertheless, we've got an extremely resilient team who are very busy working on M2, which is the main mission that follows M2 Pathfinder. So okay. Plenty of things to get on with in the meantime.
Right. And you say, are your people still in New Zealand then? With the
no. They got back into Canberra, I think, about 24 hours before the New Zealand government imposed, and the Australian government, sorry, imposed the 14-day self-isolation for any incoming travellers. Mm-hmm. So they arrived in good health and just in the nick of time.
Oh, good. Well, that's good to hear. Now, what's the expected orbit of the satellite?
It's a sun-synchronous orbit, so that means almost polar, as in a north-south orientation. It will launch from New Zealand, heading out over the South Pacific, and our understanding is that we will be deployed from the rocket into orbit approximately an hour later, which will be somewhere up above the Arctic region.
Mm-hmm.
And so the satellite will then continue in, I was going to say endless, it's not endless because eventually it does deorbit, but a long cycle of laps of the Earth in a north-south direction while the Earth rotates underneath it.
Right. And will you be tracking it from just here in Australia, or will you have tracking facilities in other countries?
We have two methods of communicating with this spacecraft. There's a backup system where we can communicate essentially by text message to and from the spacecraft via the Globalstar network in orbit. That's a backup so that if something goes wrong, we can obtain health checks from the satellite. The main communication method, though, is via the ground station that we have out near Yass, operated for us and indeed assembled for us by a very fine company there called Singulon, which does satellite communication ground station activities for quite a few customers.
Well, anything else you can tell us about it?
Well, I guess probably not. I've said what it's capable of. I guess I can't emphasise enough, though, that it is completely homegrown technology, and it once we prove it in orbit, that puts not only our team, which is and has been for a long time the largest and most experienced space team in the country for missions, not only would put us in a fabulous position for ongoing activity, but also the country. So it's a very exciting step. And not just the hardware too, the flight software and the software on the ground for communicating with the satellite. We're slowly coming to understand that some of the things that our team have managed to create not just world-class, but world-leading.
Well, thank you, Russell, for joining us on the Space Show, and we wish you all the best for this launch, and I hope the satellite works.
Thank you very much. Fingers crossed.
All right, well, that was Russell Boyce, the Director of the University of New South Wales Canberra Space. He's also the Chair of Intelligent Space Systems. Well, this has been the Space Show. I'm Andrew Rennie.